that we need to hear this morning. In the book of 2 Kings, if you'd like to be turning there with us in the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter 7, and stand, if you would, in the presence of the Lord for the reading of His Word. And we will be bringing you a message that God has spoke to us about. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we find, actually, if you back all the way up to the first part of chapter 6, you'll find out that Syria was warring with Israel. And it was an amazing thing, because every time Syria would get in their secret chamber to make plans, make their war plans against Israel, there was a prophet down in Israel by the name of Elisha that kept telling everybody about it. So the king got mad, and he wanted to know who the spy was that was in his secret chamber that kept slipping out and telling all their plans. But come to find out, there was no spy. There was just the Spirit of God, amen, working through a prophet. But anyway, it made the king mad, so he decided to go down and attack and kill Elisha. And he goes down, and to make a long story short, God struck him with blindness and the whole army. Elisha led him up to Samaria, and then God gave him their sight back. Amen. They were all confused and all just kind of discombobled. So then we come into chapter 7. And we find out that if we read the last part of chapter 6, that the Syrian army surrounded Samaria, and they cut off all their supplies. There was no food coming in. There was nothing going out. I mean, they were just stuck. And the Bible said that there came a great famine in Samaria. And people were to the point where they were killing their children. If you'll read that, and cooking their children and eating them. Now, that's pretty strong. Amen. I don't know about you, but it would be hard to eat one of my kids.
I've heard it said
that if you get hungry enough, you'll eat anything. I've read stories about men who ate rats that were prisoners of war in the Second World War. They would catch rats and eat them. I'd have to be pretty hungry. Amen. To eat a rat, especially raw. Think about that for a minute. I thought I'd just throw that in. So, get you all primed up for the Word of God. Amen? So in chapter 7, God is going to do something about this famine. And the Bible said, chapter 7, verse 1, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it, with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come into the house of the Lord. We thank you for the Holy Ghost of God that we have felt here this morning. We thank you that you have assured us that your presence is with us. And now, Father, as we come to this part of the service where we look into your blessed word, and we, Father, begin to nourish our spirit and our soul off of the word of God, I ask you that you would anoint these lips and use me to say those things that would be pleasing in your sight. Anoint the ears of these hearers that they might hear, Father, what the Spirit is saying through this message this morning. And we'll glorify you, we'll praise you, and we'll honor you for it all. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If I were to have a text this morning or a thought for this message, I think that this would be something that we need to hear today, considering everything that's going on. I read in the paper this week that they are anticipating now that gas will probably top out $5 a gallon. Folks, that's pretty stiff. Also read an article about England, which they're talking already over there about food shortages and things where they're going to start rationing some of their foods. Things are getting tough. Amen. But I want to talk to you this morning, and if I were to have a thought that you could write down and take home with you, it would be this: the thing about suddenlies. Let me repeat that for you. The thing about suddenlies. The thing about suddenlies is they happen suddenly. Proverbs 16:15, talking about a person who soweth discord, says, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Romans 16 verse 7 says, tells us, if we read it, to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. There are certain things, there are reasons why God puts Scripture in the Word of God. We are living in a time when things are starting to accelerate. You say, well, preacher, there's still 24 hours in a day. Yes, but I believe God is compressing time. Have you noticed that more things are happening in a 24-hour period now than have ever happened before? If there was ever a time when you and I need to be sensitive to the Word of God and listening to the Spirit of God, it's this day in which we live. There's a reason that God warns us about people that cause divisions, people that cause separation, people that are causing confusion in the body of Christ. Suddenly it's happened without warning. How many of you know that? It's the word, suddenly, means without warning. You know, for a lot of people, death comes suddenly. They'll be going to work, or they'll be working on the job, or sleeping in the bed, and suddenly, without any warning, without any notice whatsoever, death comes. It's over. Everything stops. Everything is over at that point. Suddenly, the thing about suddenlies is, they come suddenly. They come without warning. They come without any notice that they're coming. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Good things from God also come suddenly. Did you know that? Acts chapter 2, the Bible said that they were all in the upper room with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It didn't give them any warning. They weren't hardly prepared for it. They were up there in one mind and one accord. They were praying to God, and suddenly the Holy Ghost fell in that room. Folk, I'm here to tell you this morning, the thing about suddenlies is they come suddenly. Good things. Acts chapter 16 and verse 26, you'll find Paul and Silas in jail, and the Bible said they had been beaten. They had been mistreated. They had been put in jail. About midnight, they began to sing and praise the Lord. And the Bible said, suddenly, there came a great earthquake, and it just shook that jail, and the doors come open. Suddenly, without warning, things happen. Scripture throughout gives us warnings about suddenlies. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22 says, lay hands on no man suddenly. You know, you better be careful about following people you don't know a whole lot about. Amen? They might lead you astray. Because it says lay hands on no man suddenly, and then it says something else. It says neither be partaker of other man's sins. You mean by following and supporting somebody that's not doing what God wants them to do, you can be partaker of what they're... Absolutely. That's what the Bible teaches. You remember in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira had sold a parcel of land. They had committed or vowed a part of that sale to God. And then they reneged after they got the money and decided not to do it. You remember what happened? Ananias came in and confronted Peter and brought a little offering. And Peter said, is that what you vowed? Oh, yeah. And the Bible said he fell down suddenly dead. They carried him out and buried him. And while they were carrying him out and buried him, here comes his wife, and she's going to agree to the lie. And Peter said to her, said, the men who have just buried your husband, the sound of their feet is coming. They're going to take you out and bury you too, both of them. How many of you know the Bible said it's better to have never made a vow than to make one and break it? Sudden calamity comes upon people who are disobedient to God. That's why you need to know this morning that the thing about suddenlies is they come without warning. See, there's a number of, there's numerous scriptures that talk of the results of God moving suddenly in the Bible, both good and bad. But I want you to know this morning that the Father is on the move right now. It's important that we don't miss what God's doing in this day and age. How many of you read the bulletin this morning where they have started now to make the priestly clothes for the temple in Jerusalem? You say there is no temple. There has to be a third temple. You know that. Because the Bible said, Jesus himself said, when you see the abomination of desolation sitting in the holy place where it ought not be, then know your redemption draweth nigh. You see, they built a temple there, and it was destroyed over almost 3,000 years ago. They built another temple there about 500 before Christ. The Romans destroyed it. Since that day, there has not been a temple or a holy place in Jerusalem. The reason they say they can't build it is because on Mount Moriah, where it's supposed to be built, the Dome of the Rock sits, and there's also a Muslim temple there. And they say Jerusalem, the Jews will never be able to build a temple. But just in the last few months, they've discovered the ruins of the old temple, and it's completely away from both those things that are already there. And suddenly they've realized, you know what, we can build a temple here. And let me tell you what's going to happen, folks. They're going to agree with the Muslims, and they're going to agree with all those people, and there will be a third temple built. They're getting ready to build it right now in Jerusalem. So you can get ready. Some things are happening in the world. There are suddenly going to be some things happen that you and I weren't expecting. There's going to be some things happening suddenly, without warning, that you and I don't know anything about yet. The Father is on the move. Hearing from God in this day is crucial, and we must believe and receive what God is doing. The Spirit of the Lord has made it clear to me that the voice of the prophet is sometimes can be missed while you're hearing the words that the prophet is speaking. Do you understand what I just said to you? I said you can miss what's being said while you're hearing every word that the prophet is speaking. What you have to do is be able to discern what the Holy Ghost of God is saying when you're sitting like you are this morning hearing a message. What we need to be able to do is discern what God is saying. Not necessarily what I'm saying, but what God is saying through me. And it's easy to miss what God's saying listening to what I'm saying. But hearing God is crucial. And our text here this morning that I read to you in 2 Kings chapter 7, the spiritual truth of this missing what God is saying is obvious. In this story of the siege of Samaria, where Syria had encamped around about her and cut her off, there was a family. But I want you to know that there's some key players in that I want us to look at this morning that will explain to you better what I'm saying to you maybe than I can. Now, the first person in this scripture is the king. He has no idea what to do. If you go back to chapter 6 and read like verses 26 through 31, you'll find out that I told you in the beginning that they were to the point where they were killing their children and cooking them. And one woman confronted the king, and she said, "King, I need some help here because my neighbor promised me that if we would eat my son yesterday, we would eat hers today. And said we boiled my son and ate him yesterday. And today she's hid her son. And we can't. I need some help here. And said, the king said, if the Lord don't help you, I can't help you. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to turn. And folk, listen, there are people in this world today, some of them trying to run for president of this country and other political offices, have no idea what to do. Amen? They don't know the answer. You hear the same promises over and over and over and over again from political people since the 1950s till now. They're all wanting change. They're all going to bring change. And the truth is, the only change is that everything stays the same. They don't have the answer. This king didn't have the answer. Actually, if you'll read the last part of chapter 6, you'll find out that the king's solution to the whole thing was to kill the prophet. He just said, we'll kill Elisha. That'll make it better. How many of you know there's people today trying to destroy the church because of what's going on? They think it's our fault. They think we got them into this. They think the church is what's causing everything that's happening. I mean, $5 a gallon gas, the church did it. Come on, you know what I'm saying? But that was the king's solution. He said, I'll just kill Elisha. I'll cut his head off. That was his solution. So let's look at some of the key characters in this story. There's first the wicked king. He'd violated the laws of kingship. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 17, and in there you'll know what they are and what he did. Now, not only did he do that, but instead of listening to the voice of the prophet, he's listening to somebody else. There's a royal officer there. Listen at it. Let's read it again. Elisha told him in verse 1 of chapter 7 that tomorrow everything's going to be all right. 24 hours. Everything's going to be fine. But notice the first sentence of verse 2. It says, then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God. So the king has got this royal officer, and he's going to listen to this royal officer over anything Elisha says. And this royal officer is not going to listen to Elisha. The king is listening to the voice of the royal officer. But what the king don't know, what the royal officer don't know, is that within 24 hours, this royal officer is going to be judged and dead. Suddenly, he's going to die. And Elisha actually even tells him that. He said, tomorrow you're going to see this. You're going to witness it take place, but you're not going to be a partaker of it. If you'll read the Word of God, you will find out that Elisha's prophecy came true, and this man was dead within a 24-hour period. He was gone. But in the meantime, instead of listening to the voice of the prophet, the man of God, and hearing what the man of God said, tomorrow, 24 hours from right now, everything's going to be fine. The prophet is bringing the good news. The prophet is saying it's going to be great. God is going to intervene. Yes, there's a famine in the land now, but tomorrow it's going to be good. They're not listening to him. They're not hearing what he's saying. They're following their own trail. How many people do you know like that? I know some people that do that. You see, the voice of the royal officer is a sinister voice. And the scripture warns us many, many times not to listen to that voice. It's always out there. It's always prevalent. But the scripture repeatedly warns us about having an evil and unbelieving heart. And that's where this royal officer was. He did not believe Elisha. He did not believe Elisha was God's man. He did not believe the prophecy. He said even God opens the windows of heaven and dumps it out on us is the only possible way this could happen. Now you got to realize he's talking to Elisha. How many of you know Elisha saw the heavens open? I mean, you're talking to a man that you can't change his mind because Elisha was with Elijah when the chariot took him up and the heavens opened and received him. His mantle fell off and it fell on Elijah. This is a man that's seen the windows of heaven open. This guy said, even if God opens the windows of heaven, this thing can't happen. Elisha says, oh yeah, I've seen the windows open before. So they're listening to the wrong man. They're listening to a very evil and unbelieving man. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. How many of you know that those of you that are trying to live in faith, if you start trying to walk with an unbeliever, somebody that's a doubting Thomas, that they'll pull you down, you won't pull them up. This man was a doubter. Titus 1 and 15 says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. I want you to go to 1 John 2:19. Some folk need to get a hold of this morning. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 says this. Let's back up to verse 18. I just want to read you this scripture. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what God is saying to you this morning out of this. In 1 John, say amen when you're there. Chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time. How many of you know we're living in the last days? And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Notice the next verse. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now, I'm going to say something here with all the love in my heart that I can muster this morning. But folks, sometimes when people leave a congregation and leave a church, especially if they leave angry and they leave mad, for God's sake, let them go. Don't try to drag the devil back into the church after you prayed him out. If they left for a reason. If God, through the Holy Spirit, cannot convict them and bring them back, rest assured, you cannot entice them back with your words. We really need to get a hold of that. Because we pray the devil out and then we go knock on his door and try to get him to come back. I'll leave that there. The royal officer is the voice of number one cynicism. How many of you know any cynical people? Cynicism and people that are cynical are inclined to question the sincerity and goodness of people's motives and actions. In other words, they look at the leaders of the church, the music director, the pastor, and deacons, and whoever else has a leadership role in the church. And they look at them and they question their motives. They question their reasoning. They question their goodness. They question their life. They just, people that are cynical just question everything about anybody that's in a position of authority and leadership in the Lord. And not only will they not follow that leadership, but they will not follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit either. Now this royal officer that the king was leaning on had a cynical spirit. He also had a spirit of skepticism. A person who is a skeptic is a person who doubts the fundamental doctrine of religion. Now I know you don't know anybody that's a skeptic, do you? There's one good one in the Word of God. Well, actually there's several, but I think Thomas was the best. Thomas, he's alive. He's really, why I won't believe it. I won't believe it unless I can stick my hand in his side and see the nailed scars in his hands. I know a lot of people that you go tell them a miracle happened down at church. I don't believe that. I don't believe in that stuff. Skeptics. The royal officer that was directing the king had a spirit of cynicism, a spirit of skepticism. Third problem he had is he just didn't believe. He was an unbeliever. He was a doubter. And the results was, Elisha said, you'll see it, but you won't be a part of it. How many of you know that what God is about to do, there'll be many people that will see it, only a few will be a part of it? Amen? Because there are skeptics, and there are cynics, there are unbelievers, even in the church. Unbelief will cheat you out of what God has for you. Did you know that? Now, I'm going to tell you a story that I started not to tell you, but the Holy Spirit just prompted me to share it with you. This past week, I got an email. And in this email, and I'll tell you where it came from, Saudi Arabia. In this email from a woman, she proceeds to tell me this story. That her husband worked on the Ivory Coast of Africa for 20 years and had, during that period of time, acquired a fortune of $3 million and placed it in a bank in Africa. In 2004, her husband passed away. Now, in 2008, she has cancer. They were married for 18 years, had no children. So listen to this. She says, so, I have chosen your ministry to receive this $3 million that's in a bank in Africa. Okay, when I first read that on the surface, it sounded great. It sounded good. It sounded exciting. And I'll take $3 million anytime I can get it. Amen? Amen. Especially if somebody's giving it to me. So I responded to this woman. I shared it with a couple of people, and I told them, I said, I'm going to respond to this just to see if it's legitimate. Because it would be a shame if this was a scam, right? So I responded, and I get another letter back, and she's getting worse. Her cancer's getting worse now. But there are certain other conditions that we'd have to meet. Is this real? Is it not real? I don't know. But I want you to know God's capable and able of supplying $3 million to this ministry in 24 hours if he needs to do that. That's the God I serve. Amen. The reason that people do go around doing it, I'll take it. I'll tell you right now, I will take it if she offers it. If I get a cashier's check next week in the mail for $3 million, you'll be the first to hear it. And we'll go on and do what God wants us to do. If we don't, I still believe God's able to supply our needs. Amen? And I believe God's going to move this ministry forward. But we need to understand that there's always going to be skepticism. There's always going to be cynics. There's always going to be unbelievers around. That they're not going to accept it no matter what happened, because they've already judged us, condemned us, passed sentence on us, and that's the end of that. But I'm here to tell you, my God's able to raise the dead. Amen? God always needs an instrument of recovery. Did you know that? God works with people. How many of you realize that and understand that? Let's back up to our text and let's read a little more scripture. Elisha told the old boy, said, you'll see it, but you'll not be a part of it. You'll not taste of it. You'll not experience it. As a matter of fact, God's going to take you out of here. How many of you know God can move unbelief and cynicism anytime he wants to? Suddenly. See, this message this morning is all about suddenlies. The thing about suddenlies is they happen suddenly. Yeah, Joanne can vouch for that. Joanne goes to the doctor with her ankle and suddenly ends up in the hospital to have open heart surgery. That's suddenly, yeah. But the Bible said there were four lepers men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here till we die?" That God needs an outlet. God needs somebody to be an instrument of recovery for the city of Samaria. Now, he can't use the king. The king has no idea what to do. He's not going to use the royal officer, and obviously he's not going to use the women who have been boiling each other's children and eating them. So he needs an outlet. He needs somebody that is just willing to believe God. Outside the gates of Samaria, there's these four lepers. Notice that there are four of them. Four, by the way, is the number of creation and manifestation. Did you know that? Now, while they did not hear Elisha when he told the royal officer, you're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it. They didn't hear Elisha when he said, tomorrow you're going to be buying flour, and you're going to be buying meal, you're going to be buying what you need, and it's going to be cheap. They didn't hear that. They were outside the city. They had a leprosy. They weren't allowed in the city. But when Elisha spoke those words and put that prophecy into motion, in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of their unconscious mind, something began to change in them. They began to change the way they were thinking. I mean, they were outside the city, but they were in the famine just like everybody else. And all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, one of them turns to the other and says, you know what? Why are we sitting here? Why don't we get up and do something? I mean, we're going to die if we sit here. We're going to die if we go into the city. We're going to die. I mean, we're going to die. If we go over to the army of Syria, we're going to die. But let's don't just sit here and die. Let's get up and at least be moving when we die. But if you'll read that story, you'll find out that they decided that they would go over to the armies of the Syrians because the thinking had changed. Why? Because the man of God, the prophet of God, had spoke a prophecy into existence. Once that prophecy was spoken into existence, it began to take on its own form. God began to move. God needed those men. He needed an instrument of recovery. He was going to use four leprous men to do this. He chose to use them. Now, leprosy means that something's eating at you. Amen? If you got leprosy, it's eating you up, just like cancer is. The question is, what's eating you this morning on the inside? What's really bugging you? Because that's where the enemy has shut the door in your life. But if you'll get ready to obey the words of the Lord, you'll get a turnaround miracle in your life. Now, these old boys, they decided they would get up and go over to the army of the Syrians. I mean, what did they have to lose? They were starving to death. They had leprosy. And we're living in a season, and I want you to hear this morning, church. We're living in a season that's going to be marked by change, division, and separation. Let me repeat that. We're living in a season, and we're going into a time that's going to be marked, and I'm talking about in the church, in a season of change, division, and separation. God's going to separate some believers from some cynics and some unbelievers and some doubters. Those who, like the royal officer, a fail to honor God will experience a drying up of all their resources in the days that are just ahead. This is important stuff. I'm going to give that to you again. Those of us who, like the royal officer, have failed to honor God will experience a drying up of all their resources in the days of recession that are just ahead. You think we're going to have a recession? Oh, yeah. Count them. On the other hand, the righteous, who even in the seasons of endurance, those people who do not grow weary in well-doing and in seed sowing, are about to enter a sweet season of turnaround breakthroughs in their life. Why? Because they're honoring what they're hearing God say through the Word of God, through the prophets of God, through the preached Word of God. They're honoring it and they're obeying it, and God's going to honor that. But these four leprous men decided that they were going over to the, just go over to the army. But if you'll read the Word of God, the Bible said that before they got there, God made the Syrian army to hear a sound of chariots, and the whole bunch of cowards got up and run off. Amen. And when they got over there, you know what they found? They found horses tied and donkeys tied and food for everybody. The devil has closed the door on a lot of people. But I'm here to tell you that God's about to open the door. The famine's about over for those that are honoring God and listening to God and hearing what God is saying. There's going to be a division. Those that are not honoring God are going to suffer in the next few months and years. Those that are honoring God are going to have their needs well met. Amen? We stand at the threshold of a brand new outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to experience what the church has never experienced before. You see, God has made a lot of promises in this book, and a lot of them have not been fulfilled yet. Now, it stands to reason if the Lord's soon coming back, the promises haven't been fulfilled, God cannot lie, then those promises have to be fulfilled. Is that not? I mean, that's logic to me. And so who is going to witness, who's going to see, who's going to receive the fulfillment of those promises? Those people that believe God. Certainly not the royal officer. Certainly not the king, not the doubters, not the skeptics, not those that are cynical, but those that are honoring God. God is about to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Saints that are waiting to be for miracles to be manifest in their life. Remember that I told you four is the number of created order or creation and the number of manifestation. There was four lepers. They went over. The Syrian army took off. Man, they just left. They sat down to eat and drink. Found food aplenty. All of a sudden they realize, you know what? We do not well. We need to tell the king of Samaria about this. So the Bible said that they got up and they went and they shared the good news with the king in Samaria. And sure enough, just as Elisha had prophesied, the next day Samaria was not besieged. Had plenty to eat. But if you'll read the scripture, the old boy on who the king was depending died in the gates of the city. Folks, it's dangerous to cross God. I'm telling you, it's dangerous to doubt God. It's dangerous to be cynical about what God's doing. It's important that we hear the voice of God. Don't so much listen to the words that I say, but listen to what the Spirit of God is saying through the message that I'm giving you. The thing about suddenlies is they happen suddenly without warning. I want to tell you about one more suddenly and then I'm going to close. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if I haven't talked to you about a suddenly that should get you excited this morning yet, this one ought to do it. Amen. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, I'm here to tell you there's some rough times coming in America. But if you're trusting God and honoring God and you're sowing seed into God's kingdom and you're believing God, God's going to sustain you through this. But right in the middle of it, there's going to be another suddenly. Listen to this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. You there? Are you ready to be blessed? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Now that's a suddenly. Is that not a suddenly? At the last trump, for the trumpet of God shall, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When? Suddenly. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Listen to this. This is the counsel, considering the fact that we're soon going to be raptured out of here. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet's going to sound and the church is going to be gone. I want to be part of the number. What about you? In the meantime, God is going to sustain the church. The thing about suddenlies is they happen suddenly, without warning, without preparation. It's all coming together right now, church. Are you a cynic? Are you a critic? Are you a doubter? Are you an unbeliever? Are you a person who's ready to go? Are you ready? You see, the Bible said faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a fact. But I want to tell you this morning, faith is also an act. Act now. Show me your faith by your works. Are we doubting what God's doing? Or are we believing that suddenly, without warning, things are about to take place that will mystify our government, mystify mankind? They shouldn't even surprise the church. We should be expecting them, looking for them. The thing about suddenlies is, suddenly it's going to happen. Are you ready? Alberta, if you will. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know two things. First of all, that without the applied blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, you're lost without God. Second of all, you don't have to be young or old or any age to die. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, after death the judgment. The Bible teaches us that however death finds you, that's how the judgment's going to find you. There's no preparation. There's no salvation after death. Jesus paid it all. If I could just get that one fact across to people. Jesus paid it all. There's nothing you can do, nothing I can do that will add one little bit of weight, not 1 pound of weight, to my justification, my salvation, my sanctification. Jesus paid it all. And if you haven't accepted that sacrifice for your sins, then according to the teaching of the Word of God, you're lost today. And if you have, then the Lord loves you enough till when the rapture takes place, you're going right along with the rest of us. Bible teaches that. So if you're here this morning and you're lost without God, you don't know Him in the free pardon of sin, today is your day. Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Call on Him while He's near. Call on Him while He's calling. Because suddenly you could be gone. The thing about suddenlies is they happen suddenly. Maybe you're here today and you just drifted away from God. You're not where you ought to be with the Lord, and you need to...